It's time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us. It is June 26th and racing through the hot days of summer. I hope it's going well for you. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. We're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Talking to, I'll give her a shout out. Carol Barton was listening to one of my podcasts, one of our podcasts. It's an our thing, but it was one of the interviews we released outside of the regular weekly mortgage industry update. And she was saying, I really liked the call that you did with the CEO of Shamrock Mortgage. That was really good. So pay attention to the non-regulars that we release. So it's usually one or two podcasts a week in addition to this one main one. And so anyway, Carol, it meant a lot to me that you listened to it and comment. We get so many people commenting about this when I go and speak at conferences. We got a little bit of an update. I want to talk a little bit about that. Last week, I spoke at the Real Trends, Clayton Collins of HousingWire, who recently bought the Real Trends brand, and they have their annual conference, or I don't know if it's annual, but it's a gathering of eagles. And so I spoke at that on a Sunday morning a week ago, this past Sunday, on Father's Day. I'm sure they got that part right, but it was there, and it was really well attended. This is all of the realtor brokerage owners that were at this conference. And it was really well attended. And so ran across some old friends, some clients that I haven't, Rick Steinberg, I haven't seen him in decades. So good to see him. Back with a client back in 2005. And then Jody Hall, his CEO. It's really fun to run into the people we were there with, RE360. So anyway, I could go on and on talking about all the people we meet at the conferences, but they all come back and say, look, and we listened to your podcast. And so I want to say a special thank you for those that make this podcast happen. Ben De La Cruz, who works with me on my team, is the one that does a lot of the editing, putting everything together. Ben, thank you so much for your work. I want to say a special thank you to my co-host, Mark Helm. You're in here, Mark. Thank you so much for dialing in each and every week. You add the extra amount of wisdom and commentary that's always valuable and so good. And then, of course, Alice Alvey has been here since the beginning and has also played a co-host role so many times where my internet's going out. Remember the time, Alice, where my building got struck by lightning and my internet went out, my computer went out, and there he goes, and you just jumped in like a pro that you are. You're just a natural speaker. You do so well in speaking. You dumped in and says, well, we lost Paige, so I guess I'll take you over. Do you remember that, Alice?
We had a few times that happened in the early days. Something would happen, you'd just fall off and be like, okay, we're going to win.
We're going to go on. So that way it works. But that's what we do here. And that's what did. And then we got David Kittle. You know, he is such a dear friend to me at so many levels. And I just love you, David Kittle, for joining on and getting on the podcast, adding color. We got some real good stuff for you. You're going to be sharing here in just a few minutes. Looking forward to getting that. And then, of course, Alan could not make it, but we have Matt Graham. Matt Graham, I get so many comments about you. I was on with Julian Hebron speaking at the Total Expert Conference the week before, and, oh, my gosh, we were both loving on you, Matt. So just thank you, Matt, because of who you are and your style, which is only you have your style, and it's just so glad. You're not an imitation. Matt Graham, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So anyway, folks, that's our lineup. We got everyone. Did I leave anyone else out? Don't tell me I left anyone
The
out.
Illustrious Les Parker.
Oh, Les Parker. Well, he's remote, you know. He's listening, and he listens all the time. So, yes, we have Les Parker.
He's always here with me, I just want to say.
So. He is always there. Les Parker and Gary Canterbone with their contribution each and every week. Les Parker's voice and Canterbone's work behind the scenes. They do a great job, yes. Thank you, Matt. And, of course, We got Adam DeSantis with the NBA, which we're going to go to in just a minute. But I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. Candor Technology does a great job with what they do to provide a workflow solutions. But the best part is you can have confidence if Candor underwrites. It increases the amount of loans one underwriter can underwrite and gets them up to 8 to 10 loans per day. Now, that means they're not underwriting. And it means that's how many, if you look at your underwriting team, you can increase the workflow by that much. If you use Candor and check it out, what they do. Listen also to the interview we did with Ed, who is on May 26th, this just last month. It's really, really good interview. I love that interview. Enjoyed that conversation very, very much. So check that out. Also, Finastra, appreciate them so much, the largest fintech company in the world. It's kind of nice to have the largest fintech company as a sponsor of the podcast. They do a great job of out there with thought leadership, and they're adjusting to the market, and you've got to pay attention to what they're doing. Their strategic thinking is what I love hearing about. They also got some great products, so check out Finastra. Also, Total Expert. We talked about the conference we were at. I think in last week's podcast, we talked about the Total Expert Conference, and it was one of the best conferences I've been at in a couple of years. Joe Wellu and the team over there, Angela Higgins, the whole team is just so bent on helping you in your business, build your business. And that conference had so much. That Julian Hebron and I spoke of Basis Points, and I spoke on a panel together. We're going to be inviting Julian to join us on the podcast on a regular basis. He's such a big fan of Matt Graham, so I thought that would be just outstanding, and his perspective is just welcome. So thank you to Total Expert for their sponsorship. Check out their journey. They have custom-built customer journeys to help give lenders a starting place to nurture the relationships with your borrowers. Great, powerful tool. And what they have slated coming down the market, coming out in their development model or their release development, future releases, what I'm trying to say, it's really good. Also, Simple Nexus, the mortgage software technology for the modern lender, great job. And we're so excited. We're adding Byte Software as one of our newest sponsors. We just signed the contract last Friday, so they're joining us. They'll be joining us July 1st as officially be here, but you're going to hear a lot of us talk about Byte Software. So we're really excited about them. Along with the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools. We've got so many wonderful sponsors, all market leaders. Thank you so much for being there. And this week we're releasing, last week we released the interview with Dean Harrington of Shamrock Home Loans. That's the one that Carol Barton was commenting on and said it was really, really good. So go back. The topic was messaging matters. Check out what Dean had to say. He has become a good friend. I just love the guy. Also, upcoming this week, we've got Phil Treadwell of M1 Academy. The topic will be what the uncommon have in common. It was a great discussion. He was so well prepared. Mark and I did that interview, and you're going to enjoy the content that comes out of Phil. It's really, really good. I want to say a special thank you again to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, who cannot be here today. Unfortunately, he's at a meeting. And my co-host, Markel. So good. We appreciate you listening to this and sharing and telling others about it. And thank you for the words of encouragement that you give me as you talk to me and others that you meet that are regulars on the podcast. Thank you so much. Let's get over to Adam DeSantis in this week's Mortgage Minute. Adam, what you got?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Late last week, Representative John Rose introduced H.R. 4198, the Protecting Consumers from Abusive Mortgage Leads Act, which would eliminate abusive trigger leads while preserving their use in appropriately limited circumstances, such as communicating with existing customers. Specifically, the bill would allow for trigger leads to be permissible under the Fair Credit Reporting Act in limited circumstances during a real estate transaction and is separate from a proposal introduced by Representative Richie Torres that would issue a blanket ban on trigger leads. Eliminating trigger lead abuses while preserving their use in appropriately narrow circumstances is an MBA member priority, and the introduction of this important bill is directly in response to MBA's ongoing advocacy efforts, including in conversations in over 260 meetings with House and Senate offices in April at our National Advocacy Conference. So, what's next? Your advocacy matters. Participate in MBA's Mortgage Action Alliance call to action today and urge your U.S. representative to co-sponsor this MBA-supported trigger leads bill. Visit the Mortgage Action Alliance page at mba.org to show your support today. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you so much, Adam DeSantis. Anyway, I'm interested in this trigger lead thing. Allison, your segment, if you could give us a little color on that, if you have any thoughts on that, but I'm really interested in that. Obviously, the NBA is behind it. So be sure to check that out. Again, that's why we need to have the Mortgage Action Alliance app. I got to admit, I have not been on that app here in the last couple of weeks. I need to be back on it. It's a habit that I've had. You can sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance and have your word heard, your opinion heard, your commentary can go right in to this app, and then it gets to sent right out to all the various legislators that are relative to your where you live. So check out the Mortgage Action Alliance. MBA does a great job of communicating on our behalf, but they need our support. And you can do that. And the best part is you do not have to be a member of the MBA to sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app. By the way, I forgot to mention, Form Free just published an article that was really good. The folks, their marketing firm reached out to us and asked us to make that sure we point that out. There's a link in our show notes from today. I get into it and talking about it, but I want to continue on to a couple of things. We have so much to talk about today on the podcast. So anyway, check out the link in our show notes, the article that Form Free wrote. Very well done. Excellent article. Let's get over to Les Parker, Les Parker, hear what he has on the macro view of the markets. I actually listened to this one, and so this one's pretty good. You're going to enjoy this one, everybody. Here we go.
PM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Get ready for shock.
Hints of stimulus in China caused oil-producing states to cut production and prepare for a global slump. As a result, the 10-year yield slipped from 380.
Get ready for loans.
Near-term market struggle with views on yield curves, currencies, and recessions, resulting in erratic range trading.
Get ready for loans.
Before year's end, plan for a 250 10-year yield and 30-year conventional rates to touch 575. But don't plan for a massive bump in volume.
3, 2, 1. Zero.
Decisions. These views are mine. Get ready for anything at tmspotlight.com.
There you go. Got a little boogie going on with that music. Uh-huh. Shocks, lulls, and launch is what Les said. Get ready for. So the shocks again from oil, liquidity issues, mixed global economic signs, that's the shocks. I mean, Matt, can't wait to get your thoughts. The lulls will be the AKA range trade, the range trading near term, what we're see going on there. And then what's going on with prices, higher prices, lower yields, man. Les Parker's a little bit on the optimistic side as about the interest rates. That's good. Alice, write that one down. I know you are. Always write it down.
I did.
Yes, good. Matt Graham, good to have you here, Matt Graham. It was founder, CEO of MBS Live, known to all of you all as the voice of reason, the man behind the scenes in the markets. Give us an update. What's going on, Matt Graham? How's things up in Portland? Do you have a good weekend?
Yeah. Every weekend is working on the farm now. So
I was going to say, you're a farmer. You're a farmer.
Yeah.
Do you have the bib overalls and the whole thing? I mean, do you do the whole bib
thing?
Yeah,
with no shirt and a piece of straw. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I just say, yup a lot, and then I spit. And
That's because you're working with your wife. You're a smart man. Yep, honey. Yes, honey. Yes.
There you go.
Yep.
So I always like to piggyback on things Les said, and I agree and disagree with a couple of things. And it's a friendly disagreement. Disagreement leads to conversation, right? So I agree that there is a range going on. I don't know if I would classify it as erratic. I think it's pretty narrow and pretty regular, and I think that it does speak to indecision about economic conditions. There's a lot of jockeying amongst analysts to call a recession versus calling, hey, it's not going to be as bad as you think, or hey, things are a lot better than you think. And even, just this morning, we had a Fed speaker say that Well, actually, it's the top headline on MBS Live. The economy is not slowing as much as people think, says former Fed President Robert Kaplan. So there's a lot of that sentiment around, and then there's a lot of the sentiment about the impending recession, even if you look at things like leading economic indicators, which Wells Fargo's analysts have been keen to point out is very much in line with recessions in the past. So this range and the sideways grind is really emblematic of that indecision. And it's also emblematic of the fact that month-over-month inflation readings haven't really picked a side yet when we're looking at, especially at core services inflation. It's really just a consolidation pattern, and it's not one that is pointing in a lower direction in terms of month-over-month readings. A lot of people confuse the fact that year-over-year inflation has fallen quite nicely from the highs and say, oh, look, inflation's on the way back down. Shouldn't rates be on the way back down too? But that's not really how it works, because year-over-year inflation is going to flatten out unless month-over-month inflation goes lower. And right now we're just seeing the dropping off of the ultra-high inflation months of the past from the 12-month equation, and that's what's making the annual total go down. Only other thing with Les, here's the big disagreement, and Les, maybe he might even call in and give me a piece of his mind. But I don't think there's anything interesting happening in oil. When I zoom out to the big picture, I see the huge spike up to, you know, 120 plus or 120-ish, and a initially rapid but then gradual descent back toward this $70 a barrel range, and really hasn't moved much in the past few days, weeks, at least all the way back to the beginning of May. It's been a very, very tight range. So it always makes headlines, and it always is interesting. And there were a few times last week, to Les's credit, a few times last week where I almost wrote about oil's interaction with the bond market and the implications there. And I think there maybe were some oil-based implications to over the weekend volatility surrounding the potential military coup in Russia that kind of flared up and fizzled out. But in general, you know, they're – oil is an input for inflation, and so it's relevant to bonds, and sometimes more so than others, depending on what else bonds are paying attention to. Speaking of that, what else are bonds paying attention to? When things are as flat as they were last week, you kind of just pick what you want to talk about from an analyst standpoint, and you know, the odds-on favorite would be Powell's congressional testimony last week. I think my biggest takeaway from that was the fact that he had an opportunity finally to answer a very thoughtful question. I don't remember which senator asked, or maybe it was a congressperson, something about, well, Powell said, if the economy evolves as we expect, then we see two more rate hikes. And the very logical, very simple question was, okay, can you define what as you expect means? And Powell may or may not have simply been recapping their summary of economic projections, but he said, you know, if inflation continues to moderate, if the labor market continues to soften, and if the economy continues to grow at a modest pace, then that would be evolving as expected, and that would be in line with two more rate hikes. So it's basically, there were some people out there, and at times myself, who were assuming that inflation would need to remain high, or that the economy would need to keep pushing for this apparent resilience that it has done in several economic reports in order for the Fed to be interested in continuing rate hikes. But Powell is basically saying, no, we don't need the economy to surge. We don't need any of that. We just need things to sort of keep moderating. If things could even soften in the labor market, and we would still want to hike twice. So it's you know, it's maybe a little bit of a wake-up call along the same lines as that headline from Kaplan that I just read, talking about the fact that, you know, the economy might be really bad for people that are in an interest rate sensitive sector, but if you're looking at other numbers, it's not. And if you're looking at inflation specifically, we're not there yet, and that's the Fed's reminder. Some people think, we're not there yet, but we're definitely on the way. And then the argument there is like, how do we know we're on the way? And so if we are, that's great. And we'll see the rate Les is talking about. I agree that we would. If we're not, then we're not. And that's why we're kind of sideways grinding, waiting for the next shoe to drop. And in the near term, that shoe is defined by a range of 3.7 to 3.84 in terms of 10-year Treasury yields. And we see bonds continue to attack this 3.72 level. They did so again this morning. They're at 3.719 right now. So just to give you an idea of, you know, that's we're right in the thick of things. And once that breaks, then, you know, we're still quite a ways from the old 3.4 to 3.6 range. And I don't know, there's like little rungs on a ladder. We're bouncing between these ranges, but the bigger picture change will require a sustainable shift in inflation. As far as what's coming up in the market this week, nothing earth shattering. We have GDP, the first look at Q1 GDP on Thursday, as well as jobless claims, which continues to be interesting. And Friday, we have PCE, the PCE inflation index, or PCE price index. And not to be confused with CPI, it comes out 2 weeks later. It doesn't punch quite as hard as CPI because of that, but it can nonetheless offer insight into that big picture inflation outlook that we're talking about. Other than that, just a couple housing-related reports, new home sales and prices tomorrow, and then we have pending home sales later in the week to round out what was last week a pretty solid week of housing-related data, but one that just sort of suggests that the free fall in sales and such is over, stabilizing, and we're sort of waiting to see what a recovery might look like. That's all I got.
A recovery, word of recovery. Like those words sounding, but we don't know when. Great point. Good sign. Les has not parked, has not commented or texted in. So you
dodged. I threaded the needle, maybe.
You thread that one. You may have threaded that one. But good job. Good job. And I do like the varying thoughts on that. I'm looking at the economics data that slides that they published last week, and they did this at the, I'm sliding up the beginning of this, but last week the MBA put on the MBA Single Family Research and Economics Showcase of 2023. It's on the website. If you're a member, you can download that. I have access to these reports, and I don't know to what extent that is available to others. So, but I'm looking at all the data here, tons and tons of data. We may do a podcast just specially on that, Matt, and get your thoughts. I'll get this over to you, Matt, so you can take a look at it. And then give me your thoughts on it. Do you already have? Have you already seen the slide?
I haven't seen it. I may have it in my email somewhere, but I haven't seen it yet.
I'll make sure you get it, and because there are some interesting things on there. But the one thing they're talking about is softening of the employment. so consistent with what you were thinking might happen. So anyway, good stuff, Matt Graham. Appreciate you being here. Sign up for Matt's service, mbslive.net, net. And it's a great place to fall into and get caught up in all the data, playing the word net there. Anyway, if you're signing up, use the word LOL for Lickin' on Lending in the sign-up code. You'll get an extended trial period without a credit card, but just get your credit card out, sign up for it. You're not. It's so affordable. How can anyone in this ball with this market and the volatility, whatever it is going to be, not have this information? You are going to be not as good at selling if you're being asked questions and you don't have this kind of a tool in your toolbox when talking to different borrowers, prospective borrowers. It's a great amount of information, robust as ever. I love it, what you do. Matt Graham, thank you so much for being here. Let's run around real quickly. Mark, do you have any questions for Matt that you want to ask before we move on to Mr. Kittle?
Yeah, Matt, I just want to ask you one quick question. When you look at the numbers that are coming out and whatnot, do you see that do you see the progress that will happen for us here in the near future and start, and it takes some time? Do you see it as something that will somewhat mirror what happened after 2007, 8, and 9? Because we talked about earlier about the volumes picking up in 2002 and 2003 after that. Do you see some of that same scenario playing out in the situation we're in today?
In terms of home sales or mortgage volume? That's tough. I don't see a ton of similarity, largely due to housing playing such a central role in the, a major recession, the biggest one since the Great Depression, and some skittishness – when it came to people coming back into the market. Some huge opportunities for the people with the foresight to realize the worst was over. And that really led to, you know, an uneven recovery, as did the home buyer tax credits, caused these two huge spikes in home sales that sort of threw off our ability to go back and really parse the data to see, you know, how and when things recovered. Now, I think there's just an absolute ton of demand on the buy side of the housing market and just no inventory. So I think if rates drop to a point that frees up some inventory from existing homes, which is definitely a major theme right now, a lack of existing home inventory due to low rates locking people into their homes psychologically or otherwise, there's a ton of demand out there. And maybe the only thing we'd need to be careful of if rates fell too fast would be too much supply causing downward pressure on prices. I think that lower interest rates would offset that, so it's not a huge concern, but definitely helping keeping prices elevated right now to have such tight inventory. I think there's probably more upside on home sales back then than there would be now, but there's just as much upside on refis right now, especially the longer we go without a big drop in rates.
Right. That's great. Thank you for the comments. Appreciate it.
You bet. Sign up. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Sign up for mbslive.net. Appreciate you being here. And yes, you are each week, faithfully bringing us great information. Let's move over to Mr. Kittle, David Kittle, also known as the chairman, as the co-chairman. What is your stat title there now at TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative?
I'm the board chairman.
You're the board chairman. Oh, well, you come to Jim. You come to Jim. Well, anyway,
somebody should do something to excite him if he's bored.
Well, I tell you, if Kittle's the chairman of the board, there's not a dull board meeting around him.
Board meetings, I'll promise you that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I saw you doing a flip or a backflip or a flip into the pool at one of the other TMC meetings. So what you will do to get attention, I'll never forget that.
I got to tell you, that was a year ago. So that's in the rearview mirror there, David. Come on.
Yeah, and then we could go on and on. But we won't go. I want to hear the report, because you just were reporting on before we got on the call. MBA just issued their chart of the week, and I hadn't a chance to look it up yet. So what?
I think it's interesting, you know. I love the, you know, MBA statistics and the chart that they have on there. It's in Newslink. Everybody can see it. So there's some interesting things, conclusions to draw from it. It has both purchase and refinance over the next 2 years increasing, both of them increasing about the same level. And I think that's interesting because we all know next year is an election year. It's 24. In order for refinance to increase, that means rates would have to go lower. Nobody's going to refinance into higher interest rates. So we all know that the Fed and nobody in Washington, D.C. never does anything political. But it is an election year next year, and we see both purchase and refinance in 2024 and 2025 increasing. If MBA is correct next year, then we will be at the same level in total units that we were back in 2014. Coming out of this year, which is the lowest originations we've had in 21 years. So I'm reading into this that and I'm not practicing being an economist today without a license, David, so let's put it that way, but I'm looking at this, that the Fed's going to have to lower interest rates according to this chart, which goes against maybe something that both Matt and Les were arguing back and forth with. So here it is, they're talking about maybe two more increases, and then we get into 2024, an election year, and past that, and refinances continue to pick up.
Yeah, so, I just brought up the chart here, David, and I'm seeing it's a 4.3. Am I reading this correctly? This is a trillion? No. What's the volume numbers?
No, those are annual origination counts in thousands of units.
That's right. That's a thousand. So, yep. So it's a number. It's in units. So,
correct.
So that is in units. So they're saying total all-in refinance and purchase will be in 2023. We're going to close out the year at 4,376,000 transactions is that. And then we're going to be jumping up to 5.4 million, and then up and in 2024, and then back up to this respectable number, that and nothing wonderful crazy, but 6.2.
But 2025 gets us back to 2018 levels of approaching 17 levels. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a nice, it's a great forecast. And again, I just keep underscoring it's an election year next year. So all kinds of surprises can happen.
For whatever it's worth, the Fed's most recent dot plot by the end of 2024, they have their median rate dropping by 0.75 by the end of 2024. So it's sort of, not looking at the NBA's piece, but the Fed is also forecasting lower rates than they have been for a while.
Yeah.
Good.
Shocking that they would do that towards the end of 2024. I'm just shocked.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people have been expecting this drop in rates for a long time, and it just keeps getting put off because inflation's not falling.
My whole disappointment in the Fed, and we all know it, certainly I'm not the only one saying it, they were slow to raise.
Yep.
You have to stay the course with something and show some conviction. If we're going to raise twice more to something that you said earlier, and then all of a sudden a year and 3 months from now, towards the end of 24, they start lowering rates again right around November.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, I think it'll be interesting if they do lower rates in November for seemingly no reason. That would be interesting. I think that if inflation were to drop before then, they'll lower before then. And if it hasn't dropped by then, I really don't think they will. But if they did, then that would be sort of proof positive. But,
We'll put a link to this chart in our show notes for everybody, the MBA publisher. Or you just put in Google MBA chart of the week, and you'll see it, and you'll find it out. It's just released. David, good comments. Good stuff on this. One thing that I would probably just take one exception, no one's going to refinance. At the Total Expert Conference I was at last week, and you didn't hear my commentary on that because you were gone last week, Mr. Kittle, but I was shocked at the amount of people that are doing a lot of refinances, but they're triggering it. They're getting it. Oops, use the word trigger leads. Alice, we'll get to that in just a minute. But they're generating the activity as a result of their marketing and identifying life events. And there's enough life events that are happening. I agree with you that without a life event, who is going to refinance? Inman came out with a report that 92% of Americans have mortgages under 6%, and 80-some percent, was it maybe 91% or something? It was a huge number. And then 82%, I think, was the number I'm recalling off the top of my head. My wife reminds me, that's not such a good idea at your age anymore, Lincoln. But below 5%. So it does – we've got some headwinds. We're going to have some major life events or drop in interest rates to begin to – motivate people. But there are people refinancing out there, and I just want to make sure that everyone gets locked in on this. And I saw this, how you're going through Facebook or your, LinkedIn or different ones. I'm going to post this up, but it's called The Last Man Hanging. And there's somewhere, I want to think, they all sound like they're Aussies or something, so I'm assuming it's some bridge in Australia, where they're hanging, there's all these guys hanging from a bridge, and it's like, who could hold on the longest? And it's a bunch of young bucks with, in shape and lots of testosterone, so they're going to compete by who could hold on the longest. And it feels like a real metaphor for our industry. So Google Last Man Hanging and see if what you see.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
When you're talking about the refinance into the life events, are they
talking
about people over 50 who have something, a medical issue or whatever it is? Talk about a one-time life event. Is that what it is?
No. It's actually divorces are one. What we found out, we talked about last week, was what was the most interesting statistic. Now, why someone's going to want to buy a home. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to refinance or sell a home, but someone's going to buy a home. Number one trigger is they get a dog. I couldn't believe that. And that's what the number one thing that so if they buy a pet, so you buy leads, that's how you get first-time home leaders. But the people that are going to do that, it's usually a divorce or there's some other event. Kids going to college, they need equity, they do debt. You look at credit card debt, the amount it's gone up again, and if you're paying the credit card rates, you will refinance, and it does make sense to do so economically at that point. So it's a life event where people's bad habits continue going to credit cards, running your credit cards up, then consolidate them down because there has been an appreciation in equity in your home. Those are the kind of things that they were talking about at the Total Expert Conference. And there was significant data among people that are doing it. It's what you focus on. What have you been saying, Kittle? You've been saying, David, for some time, get your head out of the negativity, you know, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. It's what's going on. We talked about this last week. Mortgage lending has become, and I got this from you, Kittle, it's a game of 6 inches, like golf. It's what's going on between your ears. I did a rant on it last week. I'm not going to repeat my rant. But anyway, David, you're the one that you and I always get together and rant over a good glass of wine.
I just thought this could be a roundtable for some other time, David, not to take up too much time here, but I've always been concerned, always, when we refinance somebody and they need it because they have been irresponsible, not all of them, some of them have had to, when you get outside your lane and you have too much other debt, and then we refinance that debt without counseling them properly.
Yes.
To get
yes,
rid of the
yes,
credit
yes.
cards and not yeah. drive it up once they do it. And they end up financing, you know, their bad credit cards or their car loan, for goodness sake, for 30 years or whatever the mortgage is.
Yeah. And then you look at the interest rate on that.
That's a thing to do without counseling. So.
Yep. I agree. That's why you got to have, I mean, Total Expert has also added to their analysis this kind of thing where you look at, is it prudent to do that? And then also, of course, Mortgage Coach has that, which now is a trust engine. So Dave Savage was at this conference. We talked about a lot of this. So that's a really good
look,
point.
There's a prominent lender. We all see it 100 times a day, targeted at veterans, refinance, take all your cash out for this, pay off your car, pay off your credit loan. Sounds great. But they're going to go out and buy a new car in the next 3 to 4 years. And they finance the one they have now for the next 30 or whatever it is, unless they refinance. And the counseling doesn't happen. The proper counseling in our industry does not happen when we do refinances like that. So that's my soapbox.
That's a good soapbox because it's fiscal responsibility, fiscal education.
Absolutely.
We are lacking it. Our school system is pathetic at that. Another rant. Feel a rant coming. I'm going to turn that rant off. We're not going to go there right now. But that would be another one we need to talk about. David Kittle, thank you for joining in. Love your parts and continue to contribute throughout the rest of the podcast. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
You bet. And congratulations on hiring Melissa. And I'm excited to have lunch with her on Wednesday this week and getting a chance to meet her. She is a spark plug and just dynamo. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that was a great hire. We're really excited. She's already doing a great job. So happy to have her.
Kudos to Melissa. Very good. Alice Alvey. Good to have you here. Alice is CMB Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, guess who we're going to have as a guest on the podcast? I'll be interviewing Bill Cosgrove. I reached out to him.
Yes, I'm excited to attend.
Yes, and you're going to help participate in that interview. I'm so excited about that. So, good stuff going on at Union Home, but let's get your thoughts on the legislative update. Thank you for being here for over 15 years doing this with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. It keeps me on my toes, forces me to go do research every morning, every Monday morning, and keep on top of it during the week to be ready. So, so I did have on the list to talk a little bit about this H.R. 4198 that the MBA Mortgage Minute brought up for Protecting Consumers from Abusive Mortgage Leads Act. So what they're talking about today is a new bill where the text is not available yet. So I did go looking. It's not published yet, but it supposedly has a carve-out for us as a lender. If it's our customer who we receive a trigger lead on, then we would be able to reach out to that customer. The first bill, it was a bill 2656 at the beginning of the year that we did talk about, and that one's just a flat-out prohibition. You can't have trigger leads for anybody. But if it's my loan as a lender and my customer has gone out financed somewhere else, I still want to know about that, and I'd like the opportunity to save my assets. So this bill does consider that in the publications that have come out and told us. Until we get the actual text, you know, I can report back to folks if it says anything different. So. But that's the one that they're saying, reach out, get yourself registered for Mortgage Action Alliance. As you said earlier, this is super easy to do. And the thing is it does matter that more Congress people and senators sponsor this bill. That does matter. So you do want to make sure that you reach out and encourage your congressmen and senators to sponsor this. It is an issue, and we're all for it. And as I said, MBA is behind it as well.
Yes.
So
good job.
Anything else you want to talk about on that, Dave?
Oh, that covers that primarily. Yeah. I wanted to get your take and color on it, but yeah, you're supporting it as well. Good. I've heard the reason I think I bring it up, because I did hear some pushback, but I think it had to do with some of the direct lenders out there that were using trigger leads and possibly abusing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that leverage that. And, of course, if you're not a servicer, you don't like this because there's no out for you. You basically just lose the opportunity to go for those types of leads that would come from someone running a credit report.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a group that doesn't like this. Yeah. All right. The other one I wanted to talk about was also in the MBA News Link, and it was on my list. It was the reauthorization of the National Flood Insurance Program. It's fascinating to have watched for years this can get kicked down the road. This is such a beat-up can. There's nothing left of this can, folks. We have got to get something permanent in place. So what's nice about this bill is it is bipartisan. You have a Democratic senator and a Republican senator. Okay. You also have companion bills in Senate and in the House. So these are bills to extend this for 5 years. My only question as I read through everything they want to do with the program is, where is the money coming from?
Yeah.
So it seems to need money because the plan would cap premium increases at 9%. Okay, well, that's where the money comes from. You know, no more 18% increases. They would have some limits and some controls coming over private insurance companies, where it's called write your own compensation. They would get that under control. Lots of good things in it, but haven't found out yet where is the money coming from. So we'll watch this closely for everyone, Dave.
Yes, thank you. And report back, you know. You can go into the Ukraine fund maybe and pull out a little bit extra. It seems like we're sending a lot over there and not getting the benefit out of it. Anyway, don't even get me started. And don't get Kittle started. That will be dangerous. Anyway, thank you, Alice, so much. Appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the interview with Bill. There's so many things that Union Home is doing so well there, and it's brought about by good leadership, and we like showcasing good leaders, and so very much looking forward to that interview with Bill. He's just also just a great guy, and another one of those really good friends of Kittle, one of the few friends he Kittle has. So anyway, just teasing you, Mr. Kittle. He's still here. He's being pleasant. He's being respectfully quiet in the background. Anyway. Alice Alvey, thank you so much. Mark, let's get over to you and talk about some of the things that we've heard on the podcast today. Any commentary that you have, get around there. Alan's not here with us, everyone, so this is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, I got a number of things I'd like to discuss, David, that I think give you a perspective from a certain marketplace. I want to give you a perspective from a Houston marketplace. I've had a lot of conversations recently with developers and whatnot in the marketplace, and here's some trends that are happening in Houston. Right now, you cannot find what I consider to be a normal multifamily dwelling or an affordable housing multifamily. Everything is going high-end multifamily, which is interesting. And most people know that multifamily is kind of limited up to four units that you have in it. But what is really happening in Houston that is surprising me is apartment buildings are going up like they don't have birth control anymore. They're going up all over the city. And uniquely, there's something about them that you got to notice. I wouldn't invest in one. I mean, I'm telling you, they're the worst built things I've ever looked at. They look like penal colonies. I think I saw one that just went up with three floors that doesn't even have an elevator in it. You know, so anyway, there's just a mass of apartment buildings going up everywhere. And I was talking to a gentleman who's in the same boat I am, trying to sell a house right now, which is kind of interesting. And I even offered my house to be rented to the right person in a rent purchase type deal. He said, Mark, that's not going to matter, because right now there's such a distinction between the low-end apartments and the high-end apartments. You can right now go rent apartments that cost you more than your house payment. would cost. It's just amazing what the high end's done on that market. And what's happening, he said that there's not many houses being rented right now in the Houston marketplace because people can go get the high end side of the apartment and get the apartment that costs $3,000 or $4,000 a month to get all the amenities and the clubhouse and all that other stuff that you don't have with a home. So why are people going to rent a home when they got a mow the grass when they can go do that? So that's killing that. And then I got a topic coming off too on reverse mortgages, because you know I have a background in that.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse
yes,
mortgages has always kind of been around to serve two purposes. They really have been around more so when somebody reaches that retirement age so they can refi their house, pay off their existing mortgage, not have a mortgage payment on a go-forward basis. All they got to do is pay their taxes and insurance, and or to pull money out to get rid of debt in the retirement years because they're now on a fixed income and all that. But the reverse mortgage market is stagnant right now because people are staying right where they are because interest rates have accelerated so much that they can't get that much out of their house, number one. And number two, they really, when they can't get anything out, they barely are able, some people have to put cash in to be able to refi their existing home into a reverse mortgage to get rid of that mortgage payment just simply because how the calculations work on the HUD loans. So we're seeing some changes in the housing market right now that are affecting everything across the board that I've never seen in my career before. That's why I was asking Matt the question I asked him, because I'm seeing bits and pieces of things happening that are just blowing my mind how they're happening in our industry and in the housing industry in general. And I'd like to get other people on the call's perspective about that comment.
You want to jump in, Matt?
He said other people's.
Other people. Okay. You already got it. Alice, thoughts? Kittle? Start with you, Alice.
Well, okay. Well, Matt, of course we want to hear your opinion, too. I think it's really interesting, Mark. I don't have that depth of knowledge in our markets, the markets I'm familiar with, on the rental piece. But it makes a lot of sense because people right now, too, I think are concerned about values. There's a little bit in the press, you know, are we trying to force a recession? Would property values go down? So I'm safer renting until I figure out the housing market, let alone the cost is about the same. And I get
right.
more amenities. Yeah.
Mr. Kittle, any thoughts?
Sorry, Dave couldn't get unmuted there. I like everything Mark says all the time, especially today. Rents are out of control. It comes back to an inventory problem, right? Because there's no houses, certainly they're going to get more because they can raise, and they're doing it, they can raise the price of the rental units. It just comes back to an inventory, affordable housing, and leads to the other.
Here's the thing that just blows me away, is Mark is helping create inventory. He's got a home for sale. And the why that hasn't sold, so there's just like, and it's, I mean, if you know anything about Mark Helm, he has nice houses. It's an affordable house, though. It's in a range where it may not be a starter home price, but it's in a range where someone can definitely afford that home in that market. I'm that's the part that I'm having the disconnect on. And again, anything Mark, it's not because it's a fixer upper anything, because Mark picks the things up really nice.
David, it's been on the market for a year now.
Yeah.
I've lowered the price twice. I've offered owner finance. I offered the rent-to-own option. I've used my whole basket full of things I've seen done in the industry to sell a house, and none of them are working.
That is curious. And here we have a housing housing inventory problem, and here's a house for sale. I'm sure there's some interesting.
You got to have the cash to put down, though, David, too, and that's part of the problem.
That's part of the problem, yeah. People are thin on cash. Yep. And there's a general sense.
Let me point one other thing out too, because I didn't point at this enough. You got that mix on the apartments now with the high end apartments, but guys and gals, you ought to see what is being built here in Houston relative to the low end apartments. I mean, they throw these things up in about a month and a half. And there's like 20 units of them, and they all look like they belong in Siberia. I can't say it. I'm going to take some pictures and share it with everybody on the phone. Y'all will just be blown away when y'all see the pictures of these places. I don't know how or why investors are putting money in these things that are not going to be sustainable a long period of time. These things will be bulldozed down in 20 years.
Why build a quality house when it's going to be torn down here in a little bit? Interesting stuff. Well, we could go on and on about all of this, but we have run out of time. We've got to cut this thing off. A number of people say, try to keep it under an hour, Dave. It's really good content. Thanks for the report from Houston, Mark. Thank you all for being here and being a part of this great podcast again today. A lot of great information. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you of what is working out there. I tell you again, like golf, mortgage lending has become a game of 6 inches. And what is going on between your ears? What's going on in your head, your company? I was looking at something over the weekend about attunement. Are you attuned to your customers? Are you attuned to your loan originators? I'm looking at this picture again, this video, these guys hanging from the bridge, and one by one they start dropping. Loan officers are dropping. The MBA recorded statistics on this latest slide deck that they put out, that Mike Frattantoni and team put out, was showing that the number of people exiting the industry, it's going back down to the previous surge 2000 levels, probably going to drop even further. And it's who can hang on to take advantage, because the underpinnings of our industry still are as strong as ever. So, and there are people being successful. The one guy I talked to, we're going to have his boss come on the podcast. He says he hits 100 open houses a month. I said a week last week, and I got corrected on that. And so he is out there, and he closed 10 loans. I think it is so much about what is the activity you're doing. Are you doing intelligent activity, whether it be recruiting? Just making phone calls is not enough, or calling on realtors enough, or doing whatever it's doing. It's, are you doing the right activity in the right places? I challenge you. We'd love to hear more. That's why we're having the guests coming on that we do. You will definitely want to listen to the podcast that we got coming up this week. Phil Treadwell of M1 Academy. What the uncommon have in common? In other words, those that are uncommonly successful in this market, what do they have in common? He'll be talking about that. Folks, thanks for being here. Mark, Alice, Matt, David, appreciate you all. Have a great week, everybody, all you listeners. Again, special thank you goes out to our sponsors. Again, Candor Technologies, Finastra, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, Byte Software. Welcome to the pack of advertisers. So excited. Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, the amazing Mortgage Collaborative. Left now with Melissa, expecting great things, as well as Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, and Mortgage Advisory Tools. Folks, thank you so much. Have a great week, and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.